Hey Fadies, thanks for listening to The Fate of Ison. I'm DM Brad, and while we recharged the Squadeth batteries before Chapter 6, we're going to go back in time and take a look at the backstory of everybody's favorite cloud demon, Arcus. This backstory features Jules Daniel in their usual role as Arcus, and amazing special guests Troy Malcolm as Zeph and George Fenn as Fergus Squalor. And excitement alert! Alarm, 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 whoop whoop. Instead of using D&D in these episodes, we are playtesting a game that I made up called D12 Go. It's still very much in the testing phase, and by that I mean I'm literally amending the rules as we play. But if you like what you hear and want to try it out for yourself, just get in touch on social media. Those are all at Fate of Ison, or email fateofison@gmail.com, and I will send you the rules. It's that simple. And the game uses a single 12-sided die, hence the name D12 Go. And why don't you go buy yourself one of those from our awesome partners, metallicdicegames.com. Nice way to really organically slip an ad in there, Brad. If you use the promo code Fate of Ison, you can get a sweet, sweet, delicious discount. Nice. So metallicdicegames.com, promo code Fate of Ison. Okie dokie, without any further ado, let's jump into the realm of Arcus and the Cloud Demons. Cool. I might not, but I might slip into it. Hey!
That's what sometimes you call me Jules.
An appropriate way to start. Oh, this is gangbusters. welcome everybody. Hello, thank you for joining me.
Hi.
Hi, Brad.
Hello.
Who do we have?
Oh, is this the bit where this is actually my first time doing a live D&D podcast?
I'm doing this, and I'm bringing you into it so well.
Oh. No, thank you very much. I'm George Fenn. Do I do my character bit now? I'm going to do it. I'm George Fenn, and tonight I will be playing the role of Fergus Squalor.
Ooh.
The heir to a very morally ambiguous, magical, noble cloud family.
Would you liken your character to any other from pulp culture, perhaps?
I feel like I'm always the hero in life, so I want to play sort of a Zuko type character. You know, I'm a little bit of a Draco Malfoy sort of esque role. Because I feel like Draco Malfoy for me was actually the Harry Potter character I related to the most. You know, and I really want to sort of give that character justice.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of people feel exactly the same way.
And everyone's really into Harry Potter right now as well. It's just
good timing.
Yeah, it's super. Yeah, it's super topical.
Harry Potter at the height of its trend.
Yeah. I think we talked about in one of the previous episodes how our favorite thing about Harry Potter was how it was written by who did we decide, Daniel Radcliffe or? No one
knows for sure who wrote
it. No one knows.
It just appeared one day.
I like the thing.
Picked it up and was like, I'm only a child, but this should be a movie and I should be in it.
It was Gilderoy Lockhart. Yeah.
I like to think it's just a room of monkeys. We're all typing away on typewriters and they just managed to like chalk it out. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And who else do we have?
Hey, I'm Troy. I am going to be playing a lovely, tanky cloud boy named Zeph. He's been a friend of Arcus's forever, and he's going to protect them no matter what. I personally identify as a Bogart from Harry Potter, the thing I fear most. And becoming what other people fear most. But this time I'm just going to be a protector. Little tanky boy.
Love that for you.
Thanks.
Hey, tanky cloud boy. Nice.
Kronk from The Emperor's New Groove, like, just there as a dim-witted protector.
Yep.
You also voiced by
Patrick Warburton.
Yeah, Patrick Warburton, yeah.
Not tonight.
Unfortunately.
And of course, we are joined by none other than...
I'm Jules. I'm JD. I play Arcus. You might remember me from such podcasts as this one, but earlier. I'm a cloud demon, and this is a story all about how my cloud life got flipped, turned upside down. So come on to the story. I don't know the rest of the lyrics. Sit right there. I'll tell you how I was a cloud demon in the air.
Woo! I was going to say, can we make you the bell prince of fresh air?
Yes. Oh my God.
Because you're a cloud.
I'm a cloud.
So yeah, to give listeners a little backstory on what we're doing, this is a backstory for Arcus. So as listeners of the podcast will know, Arcus joined us in Chapter 5 when they were unwittingly and unwillingly dragged into the material realm by the passing spirit of Hodge, the wolf, as it was being resurrected. So Arcus was sort of just dragged out of their own home realm in the middle of whatever their life was. And we don't know much about it yet, but hopefully this will fill in some blanks. We'll go through the setting, which is we've sort of collaborated a little bit on together, Jules and I, and also in the group chat regarding this game. So we are in an elemental sub-realm. Devoted mostly to Tretora, the god of weather and elements. What do you guys think would be the name of your realm? Throw some words at the wall and see what sticks.
Come on, guys. It's obvious. Sky Lane.
That's our working title, Skyland. There's no idea.
And we're Skylanders. Wait, fuck.
Oh, no. my character is also a small dragon who's inexplicably in a franchise.
Should we work with Skyland or should we workshop something else? Land of Sky.
Can we just like anyone got a thesaurus? We'll just swap the words with something that means the same thing. What's another word for sky?
Air.
Right, okay, air, ground, wait, no.
Air, ground? Well, the problem is, okay, I can see with the sort of the creative compromise here is that land is, in a lot of ways, the opposite of sky.
It kind of is, isn't it? Maybe kingdom. Air kingdom?
What about sky cloud?
But we're clouds. I feel like that's
okay,
just confusing.
Okay, yeah, okay. I see.
Okay, it's the whole Ginger Man problem. Ginger Man, John Bread Man problem.
We'll circle back to the name before we start talking about Ginger Men.
Gingerbread Men. When they live in gingerbread houses and it's like they're living in a house constructed of their own flesh, you know?
This realm is not somewhat similar to that situation.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so... we are in a currently unnamed...
Run. As in run as fast as you can.
Okay.
I think
we're getting a bit abstract.
Yeah. So this as yet unnamed elemental subrealm, in which the citizens are mostly cloud demons. Although you don't call yourselves demons, that is a term that is used. It's sort of a blanket term for any outer realm creatures that enter the material realm. So people from the material realm might call you demons, and you might call yourselves demons when you're in that realm, which you really have no natural business being in. But in your home realm, I think we decided you are called Cumulus.
Yeah.
So each of you is a Cumulus, and there's also various flora and fauna of different types of cloudy consistencies. You don't need to eat. Citizens here sort of get sustenance from the atmosphere itself, and sort of there are different types of air and different ways to ingest it into your body that, you know, consider that's the variety in your diets, is different ways that you get sustenance from the atmosphere. The world itself is made up of lots of different floating kingdoms, all orbiting over a giant, or not giant, actually quite a small globe of water that is referred to as the Great Puddle. Each of these cloud kingdoms is sort of arranged much like a kingdom in the material realm, usually starting with a city and then building outwards into smaller towns and villages and rural areas on the edge on the edge of your cloud.
Can I just jump in there and ask a question? So in rural areas, so there would be a sort of a sky comparison to, say, like cows. So there's like cloud cows and cloud farmers. Yeah. And like cloud.
Yeah, why not? Let's have some fun. This world. Cool. I've come up with a lot of the major concepts of it, but I'm very welcome to suggestions for filling it out and making it feel real. So we can have cloud cows.
Part of my character will be that they like good, strong, full fat sky cow milk. You know.
Mm. Oh, nice.
I think I can help you out. I think I claim to have been helping out on a sky cow farm.
Okay, we got sky cows. This is all canon now. Sky cows.
Milk is disgusting, and you're both disgusting for facilitating this. That's all I can say.
This is your backstory, buddy.
I'm disgusted. I apologize to anyone listening.
Can we call you all the Milk Squatteth, please? Actually, no, let's not do that. That's foolish. Yeah, so the world is made up of these floating kingdoms all orbiting over this globe of water. Each kingdom is ruled by either a royal family or, in some cases, a democratically elected governing body or like governing committee. This your kingdom is ruled by a royal family and nobles, of which Arcus is a part. Have you decided what level of noble member you are? Like what rank of royal family?
It's not incredibly high. It's, I would say, like a second duke or something. Like, there's a possibility if a lot of people died that Arcus could be an heir, but it would have to be very, like, England history level of fuckery, you know?
Like 27th in line for the throne.
Yeah. Like, it's a ways away, but it potentially, if everyone else dies, then... I don't know. I'm making it sound like we're leading to Arcus becoming king, but he disappears.
Yeah, one thing is set in stone for this story is no matter what happens during this adventure, eventually Arcus does get swept out of this world and into Isen.
Spoilers!
Full disclosure.
For anyone joining us at this stage. Yeah, so this globe of water far below all the floating cloud kingdoms is called the Great Puddle. And all liquid in this realm eventually falls into the puddle, including citizens whose vaporous forms liquefy upon their death. Dying is referred to as becoming part of the Great Puddle, or being puddled, or getting puddled, something to that effect. And some cumulus, not all, but some, believe that the puddled are gone forever. But others believe that they eventually get reincarnated as the Great Puddle evaporates. So this religion is called the Water Cycle, and I'll let all of you decide which side of the coin you fall on. You're either believers or non-believers.
Oh, I'm a non-believer. That sounds ridiculous.
Evaporation? Ooh, what is this?
Yeah, I mean, I think my character's a strong scientific mind, you know, and so he's very much on I think he believes that the evaporation process, there is sort of a fringe science type of way. He's quite committed to that idea of, you know, life returning, you know, in a way.
This would be one of those rare occasions where believing the science is believing the religion.
Mm. Mm.
It's almost like some sort of science religion, like...
Let's call it Scientology. No.
Scientology. Scientology.
Okay, let's take a vote. We've thus far in the rest of the podcast referred to this as the water cycle. Here and now, we'll take a vote between all of you if we retcon it to be Scientology.
I do kind of like Scientology.
I feel maybe like the water cycle is the doctrine.
Yeah, I agree. Mm.
Of Scientology.
Okay. Scientology and water cycle doctrine. Okay, this is all canon, and it's all going to eventually get added to the wiki as well.
I'm so sorry for renaming your religion, JD, just because, you know, I don't believe in it.
I feel like we need a special word for atheists in like cloud culture. There's a pun dense. There somewhere.
Just dense clouds.
Dense clouds.
So those would be the flat clouders.
Flat clouders.
So most surfaces, and so we'll get into the game and the story very shortly. There's one last thing of world building to chuck in there first, in order for this game to make sense, is that most surfaces and land and objects and things that aren't people are made of a cloud-like substance called Elementis. And for the sake of mechanics and gameplay, it's basically cloud that can be made solid by trained craftspeople, and it can behave like wood and steel, concrete, all the materials we come to expect in our world. And it all it comes in a range of the spectrum between white, grey and black, but it's a very common practice for people to quote-unquote decorate things by infusing them with different coloured, like harmless charges of electricity. So people might decorate their house by, like, it's made of white Elementis, but they sort of fill it with purple lightning. To, like, I've got a purple house because my white house is filled with lightning, sort of thing.
I have a question.
No.
I do. Regardless of whether or not I'm allowed to say it. No, what's the... okay, if it's all has the properties of actual matter, but it floats, right? That's how it stays up in the air. So if you had like a lone brick, would it just float in place, or would it float away?
It's all, so we have gravity in the form of things being held to the cloud kingdom. So, like, your cloud kingdom acts as its own gravitational floor.
Okay, cool.
So, if you held up a cloud brick, it would fall to the floor of your kingdom.
Okay, cool.
Or if you held it off the edge of the kingdom, if you were in the outskirts, like tipping sky cows or something in the rural area, you could tip a sky cow off the edge and it would fall to the Great Puddle.
Cool, great.
As happens frequently amongst young thrill seekers.
So it wouldn't fall down and then like sort of stick to the other side, like both sides of the, you know, how much research is there in terms of like escaping the what's it called?
Like terminal velocity?
Terminal velocity? No, that's as fast as you can going down. It's the escape velocity. What's the escape velocity of a cloud thing?
Trying to escape the gravitational pull.
Yeah.
I mean, you tell me, are there groups devoted to investigating this and like trying to get to the underside of the cloud kingdom? Like, there's real estate on the underside that we're not using.
Oh my god, it is!
It's free real estate.
So you're saying it is a flat cloud, like, it is flat cloud.
Mm.
Yes. Think of a continent, a floating cloud continent. And there's lots of different ones floating around the world.
What if we called it Castle Cloud?
But there's lots of castles, aren't there?
Yeah.
Your kingdom could be called Castle Cloud. Yeah. And all the other ones are like, what a tryhard, we've got a castle too.
Yeah.
They're like, we have a castle in a cloud. And they're like, yeah, that's the entire like way our species is. And we're like, yep.
Literally everybody's got that. Calm down.
But we said that we had it.
I like it. It's understated.
We say like we don't name things after what they are all the time. Like the Sahara Desert isn't just desert.
Okay, so we've got a working title, or we've got Skyland so far for the world itself, for the realm itself. Your kingdom is called Castle Cloud because you're dicks.
Ours is the castle in the cloud.
So let's jump into the story. Oh, and so listeners aren't confused about the game system we're using. We're not playing D&D. We are playing a system that I made up called D12 Go. And this is kind of the first proper playtest. So it could be very broken. I apologize in advance to the players and the listeners if this is pure garbage. Whatever happens in this game is canon for Arcus's history. But we might alter the rules from time to time if I find that things are not making sense. Cool, so the story. Insert music here, Brad, in post. Once a year, the fabric keeping your realm separate from another weakens. This event is known as the breaching and can last anywhere between 1 and 5 days. So it's sort of like a monsoon season kind of thing, where like people know it's going to happen, but they don't quite know what to expect. Some citizens hunker down and hide during this potentially dangerous time, while others revel in it and go breach hunting. So much in the way that of like the Purge in the Purge film, some people hide until all the danger's gone and some people go out and get amongst it. Each year, the breach epicenter appears close to the royal keep of Castle Cloud and the heart of the city. So each year, the royal family and all the wealthy merchants and nobles who live in that region will shelter as far from the city as possible, often going way out to the outskirts of the kingdom to go sky cow tipping. Arcus and their two, well, we'll get to your relationships in a moment, I suppose, are going breach hunting for the first time this year. And now you can all tell us a little bit about how your characters would be feeling about that, and what are your motivations, and describe things like how you would go about defending yourselves, how you would prepare to take care of any breaches that you might run into, and also how you come together and what you'd all be doing in the build-up to this event.
Right, well, I think, personally, I've been held back before this year. This is a coming of age time for me, because this year I've decided that I want to sneak out and I'm going to fight with the breach. The problem is I definitely don't have like great health. So I don't know how I'm going to fare, which is very funny because I can't really die before I go to Aizen. I'm excited to show that I'm a cloud person. I was trying to say like I'm a man now, or I'm, you know, but it doesn't. I'm a person now. I'm a cloud person. I'm not just a cloud demon. I'm a cumulus, you know, like I'm gonna prove my worth to my family. Like, I may not be next in line, but I am part of the royal family. I haven't done anything until now.
And they disapprove greatly of anyone breach hunting. They think it's reckless, and they especially don't want their family being involved in this. So that what you're doing is definitely clandestine.
Yeah.
They would not have let you leave if they knew that you wanted to.
No, I'm a rebel. I'm no one's as bad as I am. I'm going to go out and hug meanies all over.
And Troy and George, what do you think you would be doing in the build-up to this event? And how do you think you would come together with Arcus?
Well, my family works for the noble Cloud Kingdom families. They raise Kai cows and Cloud cows, obviously. And I almost said harvest their milk, which isn't what you should say.
Oh, no.
But we do that.
Cow milk.
And I've saved up all year enough raindrops so that my mother can actually float away to the edge of the kingdom so that she's safe during the breach and so that I can protect and serve my best friend Arcus, who I've known all my life. I've got my axes, blunt and blade, and I'm ready to go in there swinging them both and protecting Arcus at all costs, no matter what. My dad, my uncle, my other uncle, and my third uncle all died in the breaches, but hey, my mum's safe and I'm ready to protect my friend.
Well, she was a strong woman, your mother.
Got family history with the breach. Nice. That I like that.
Burgist is similarly going out into the breach to prove themselves. Family. As the youngest child in a very competitive, excruciatingly wealthy family who made a lot of their money off sort of owning the land on which Sky dairy industry sort of was propagated on, as well as sort of like corporately annexing sort of the lightning generation, you know, mills. You know, in an effort to prove themselves to their father, who doesn't really acknowledge their existence, they're also going out into the breach. Although Fergus is smart enough to know that it would be unwise to go out by themselves. And so, sort of call on their childhood friend with whom they get wind of Arcus's breach attempt and his gate crashing it, blackmailing them that to take Fergus along with them on the heroic journey. Otherwise, Fergus is going to tell on them. Is the thing. In preparation, he's ransacked his father's personal laboratory and taken a wand, which looks like a curved sky snake. It's very wiggly. He also has taken the family sword, which is a quite sizable, big bastard sword, which is very disproportionate to Fergus's acumen physically. Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, I especially love that tagging along by force kind of thing of like, yeah, you're not allowed to go breaching, but if you don't let me go with you, I'm going to tell everyone that you did it. Yeah, it's kind of...
I like that you put air quotes around friend, which of course people listening wouldn't have been able to see.
George did air quotes, so meaning friend is kind of more closer to frenemy, I think.
Frenemy. Yeah. Maybe more.
Rival.
Yeah. Yeah. Rival. I'd definitely sort of say slightly hostile cousin is sort of the...
Yeah, hostile cousin. So that's all, that's got, you know, you guys and your motivations and what you're personally doing to prepare yourselves for this and who you are in the lead up to this happening. So I guess we need to, so where do you think you would be? So the breaches typically happen like right in the epicenter, but if we imagine, say, you know, in the hours leading up to when the breaches begin, like, do you think you would be camping out at, in like a public space? Would you find that a house of a friend of a friend and be hanging out there or something? Like what do you think, like where do you think you would be placed before this happens?
I imagine my family farm / home is relatively near where all the nobles are, which is that close to the epicenter?
Sure, why not? Let's say it's sort of halfway between the outskirts and the epicenter.
Well then,
the history.
Yeah. Arcus, if you want to come over, my mum's not home. And my dad and all my uncles are dead, so we could prepare for the breach there.
Yeah, we could do like a preparation puzzle or...
a training montage.
Oh! No, I just meant like a jigsaw. But yeah, I guess we could prepare for the fighting.
this dangerous thing I've been forbidden to do and I'm gonna go do, I don't feel like preparing at all.
Well, what happens, you know. I'm just excited to see what's up. I think it's a conspiracy. I don't think that it's that bad. They're peasants. What can they do, you know?
Zeph just kind of looks away, realizing that maybe all of his family have been killed by a conspiracy because they were peasants.
Okay, so if you guys are hanging out at Zeph's family farm, or at least family home near the farmlands, Fergus, so, and you catch wind, pun, of Arcus's plan somehow, maybe that's through some kind of rumor mill.
Yeah, no, I was like conjuring the winds. Sort of like a weirdly creepy thing that people do in this world is sort of like sort of conjure the sound through the wind, like sort of creating a gust, so that when people speak, a gust like comes by and like picks up the words after they've been said and carries them off.
Okay.
And
in that case,
let's have our first
die roll of the game. George, if you could roll me your D12 and add your senses, and it sounds like you could also add that dark arts skill that you gave yourself as well.
Yeah, I can. Cool. So that's a zero. I got an 8. I had as I was going with the rolls, I have my senses is -2, and my dark arts is +2. And I rolled an 8, so I got an 8.
Okay. Oh yeah. So that is a questionable success. So you do hear on the winds, you do hear this plan that Arcus and Zeph have got, that they're going to hide out until the breaching begins, and then they're going to go into the epicenter. But you also receive some kind of negative repercussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say that whenever you show yourself to them or reveal yourself to them, they know exactly what you did to find out. Like, they know that you eavesdropped on them magically.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel that?
I'm sort of like a block away. I'm sort of like in like a Ford, cuddled under like sort of by a dish. Sort of, I've tracked them there because I'm like, something's mysterious. Why are they going there? And so I've been doing that. I'm sort of over in the bush. So I'm probably like looking out, like poking my head over the ditch.
You're just stalking
and you can probably
us.
See me out your window, just sort of in a corner, just this like small like.
Yeah, so you see Fergus outside your window. What do you guys do?
There he is again.
Again, yeah. It's kind of embarrassing. Not that he's doing it, just how often we see him doing it. I go and open the door. What, is it late now? Is it nighttime?
Let's say it's late afternoon. So the sun's still up, or the light is still out. I haven't decided on the solar arrangement of this world, but it is still light out, but it probably won't be for much longer.
Okay. I like open the door and I'm like, just can you get in before it gets dark? You're making me anxious.
I look around in the ditch and sort of look along the roads and pull out my big hood, my black robe, which is like designed, it's sort of, it's got no distinguishing features on it in a way which makes it incredibly distinguished. You know, it's an incredibly well-made cloak with no features in a way which is incredibly fashionable.
So is it unadorned? So it's just white, grey, or black?
It's just entirely black. I guess if it was camouflage in this world, it would be more of like a grey. I think it's black. I think it's definitely...
Unless you specifically look like a storm cloud.
Yeah. It's a stormy look. I stumble across, like, sort of arms really tied to my side and pick up a small run to get there. And I'd be like, and I sort of push past Arcus and bring myself through the door and pull the door closed behind me and say, I know what you are doing, Arcus. Zeph?
Yeah, we know. We felt you listening to our let's shoot the breeze. We felt it.
It appears my magic still needs some work. Father was right.
How is Uncle...
Do you want some NPC names?
Uncle Dubious.
Yeah. I was like, all of our names have to do with clouds, right?
Yeah. Oh, hang on. I prepared for this. I've got a bunch of NPC names written somewhere that are different translations of the word cloud.
My father's name is certainly Dubious Squalor. That is definitely a preparation I have. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Dubious Squalor. I like that.
I respond with, my father is cold and different and dignified, as always.
Classic Dubious.
I would agree. Now, enough small talk. I know what you're up to this evening. I know you plan to visit the breach. But I'm not here to stop you.
Oh.
I want you to take me with you. Take me into the breach.
Are you sure you didn't want to stop us?
What would be the point of stopping you? Frankly, I couldn't care if you lived or died in the breach. But I can't go there myself.
What can you... What reason do we legitimately have to take you? Because you're kind of weird. You stalk me. You overhear our conversations. At family gatherings, you always pretend like you don't know me and then introduce yourself to me like it's the first time we've met.
If you don't take me, please, Arcus, we were friends from such a long age, and yes, I had to find the previous knowledge of having met you, but I was around some excellent quality people, sort of high dignity society, Arcus. You have to understand, but we, you know, we're friends from way back, and if you don't tell me, I call up a ball of wind, and whisper. I will say, Arcus is going to the breach. We're at the We're at Zeph's farm. We're going to a wind ball.
You don't have to do that. You can stop. It's fine. It's okay. It's fine. Okay. You don't have to, man. This is what I'm talking about. You don't have to blackmail me, dude. You could just come, I guess. Just like cut out the creepy stuff and trying to listen to our conversations. Just calm the storm.
It's really creepy, and like Arcus doesn't need that. They've got me to protect them. They don't need you being weird, because then I've got to protect them from you, and I'm already going to have to protect them from everything from the breach.
I don't know if they need to be protected.
I need protection. I need you two to take me in there. I need to see what it's like. I've dreamed of the breach. The same dream every night. The last 6 months, I've dreamed of me going into the breach. But I don't know how to get there. I need you to take me.
That's insane. I dream a different dream every night.
What dream do you dream every night?
No, it's diff. I couldn't. It would be too many to tell. They're all different. They're all extremely different every time. Oh, yeah, no, there was one time there was a chair. But the thing that I've really learned is that no one cares about your dreams. And when you tell them, it makes people go to sleep. So the breach is happening.
So while you're all having this conversation and slowly becoming a unified party, whether you like it or not, you hear this voice outside, and it's clearly being amplified to cover, you know, like a distance. And you hear,
"Attention, curious citizens of Castle Cloud! The breaching has begun! Please keep yourselves and your loved ones safe. So far, breaches have been spotted in the Central South Bazaar, Castle Cloud University, and the new construction zone on the East District. Please stay away from these areas and make sure you spread the word about these and any other breach sightings."
Oh. There's the announcement from Swift every year.
And then you hear the same announcement happening, but like clearly from a further distance, like you're hearing echoes of it, as if this person or this cumulus is moving from place to place saying the same announcement.
I couldn't. I have no idea what just happened. I could not focus on the words. All I could think about was how Troy made me listen to Fate of Eisen right before we started. not today, but yesterday, just so he could show me you doing Swift's voice.
I forgot about Swift until Troy reminded me today, and I was like, the town crier doing the announcements is definitely going to be Swift.
This is an incredible voice. Listen to this. And I was like, that is literally Sid the Sloth.
It is. Yeah.
That's the inspiration for it.
Yeah, which just made Troy madder.
So what he just presented to you was an announcement that, yes, the breaching has begun. And that he gave three different locations for where breaches have been spotted so far. Those are the Central South Bazaar, Castle Cloud University, and a construction zone in the East District.
Cool. So we got three spots we can hit up.
And Brad, D12 Go is like Pokemon Go. We're going to those locations now to raid together, right?
You can... Well, here's what I thought was, I would put three potential missions in front of you, and you would pick one. Which one applies to you?
I feel like the...
I don't like railroading, so I was like, I'll give them options.
I like the university or the bazaar are both ones that interest me. I don't know about y'all.
I don't know, I have a thing for abandoned construction sites.
You would. It's because you read Animorphs.
Fergus is
overcome when he hears the university. The university. Fergus has been studying at the university, and he's got a lot of pushback for his advanced theories of magic that he's been sort of booking in his magic philosophy classes. He's got a lot of pent-up rage, and he is eager to get to the university to settle some debts.
Okay, well then I'm gonna make a executive call to not get blackmailed some more. I'm kind of like, I'll go along with Fergus's most because I also want to check out the university, and because I know that Zephyr is gonna come along wherever I go anyway, so his opinion really doesn't matter.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I also think that the construction site is owned by my family, and I want to avoid there because it's, you know, potentially incriminating for me to be there.
Don't right. Purge where you eat and sleep. Yeah, mate.
Yeah, you don't want to. I mean, he's
still going to eat and sleep in the construction site, but you
yeah,
know.
I mean,
if
I,
anything, he's more likely to eat and sleep at university.
That's true, yeah.
Then let me just scroll down my sheet to they pick university.
I love choose your own adventure books.
That's basically what D&D is. It's a choose your own adventure book that hasn't entirely been written down yet. Okay, so on
choose your own adventure.
Yeah. So on this first night of the breaching, you hear a range of different places you could go, and you choose as a group to visit Castle Cloud University. Wow, the world of Skyland, the kingdom of Castle Cloud, and the religion of Skyontology. This is some top-shelf improvised world-building, folks. Throw in a scheming blackmailing cousin and an overprotective friend, and you've got yourself a recipe for the good stuff. What's going to happen at the university? Will they find out firsthand what makes the breaching so dangerous? I guess we're going to have to wait and find out. As you will know by now, we could not make this show at all without the love and support from our awesome Patreon supporters. They are Alex White Robinson, Person Who Wants to Stay Anonymous, Robert Baldino from Not Quite Heroes Podcast, Armin Cucci, Laura Christine Goodman, and James Blyces from Wheel of Woe Podcast, Sijo Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Ziegler, Roger Alfamata, Sam Malcolm from Table Tales, Kydrin Fowles, Lauren Flake, Kai Dealer, Rihanna Kavalsic, Kevin Swift from The Dice Copy, and Edwards, Victorian Gavin Porter, Daniel Nickers from The Happy Go Lucky Podcast, KP Squished, Alexandra Litkites, Andrew Evans, and Emily Holman from the Grow. So close, Grow Out of It podcast. Thank you all so much. We appreciate every single one of you. And all the love. Just love. I love love. Don't you love love? Love. We also appreciate sweet reviews on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and Podchaser and Podcast Addict, if you have that on your phone. Not to mention just good old-fashioned word of mouth. You've got friends. Why not tell them about Fate of Icen? It's so easy. We love growing our listenership, and your awesome friends are the perfect people to help us do that. Your friends are so cool. Seriously, you've got the best friends. Anyway, hit us up on social media if you want to get in touch or join us on the Necropodicon Network Discord server. There's a link to that on necropodicon.com, as well as info about all of the other awesome shows on the network as well. So, yeah, lots of homework for you to do. Get in touch if you want to learn more about the D12 Go system. Give us a review. Check out our Patreon if you're that way inclined. Get in touch on social media. Man, we give you a lot of work to do. Anyway, I have blathered on too much. Thank you very much for listening. DM Brad out.
You've just finished listening to a Necropodicon Podcast Network show, and boy was it scary. Or not scary. If you wanted it to be scary, or you like scary things, you should head on over to necropodicon.com to check out my new podcast, Shivers. Every other week, I sit down to explore all things scary. While you're on the website, check out all of the other great shows that the Necropodicon Network has to offer. That's necropodicon.com.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.